genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
My next guest is also going to help us there, too. She is a communications coach with a unique twist. She spent over 25 years as a professional actress in film, television, and theater. She understands exactly how to connect with an audience. Wendy Schaffman is the founder of Coaching for Effective Communications, a business she created to help clients become dynamic, confident speakers who can inspire action by delivering a message that matters. Wendy is an expert in helping clients prepare for and deliver their messages with clarity, confidence, and authenticity, whether they're talking to the media, giving a speech, interviewing for a job, or taking part in a meeting. Wendy received her Bachelor's of Science in Education from Wheelock College. She got her Master's in Education from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and she got her MFA in Acting from the Oslo Conservancy. And just for the sake of full disclosure, of course, Wendy, you went to Chapel Hill. I am from Duke University, so right from the beginning, that makes us mortal enemies. I just want to say that, you know, if this was a court of law, this would be an adversarial sort of an interview. Welcome to the show, Wendy. How are you today?
Well, thanks, Bill. I'm going to do my best. We both should.
Well, you know, you are a Tar Heel and you're at a disadvantage, so I'll try to talk slowly and use big words, okay?
Oh, thank you.
All right, great. So tell me a little bit about your acting career. How'd you make the leap from being an actress to becoming a communications consultant?
Well, I started out doing jazz singing, actually, when I was in Chapel Hill. And I did take some courses at Duke, by the way, so maybe that'll appease you a little bit.
Well, that will, and that's where you got your best education. But go on, please.
Okay, be that as it may. I started as a jazz singer when I was in Chapel Hill. I was in an all-women's jazz band named Indigo, and we were performing all around there in the local haunts. And then I kind of reached a crossroads where I traveled with a friend of mine and was thinking about what my next move would be, because I had been working in mental health professionally with the music and theater on the side. And I knew I wanted to get an MFA, but I thought, do I want to study music theory for 3 years or do I want to study acting? And that just seemed more interesting to me. So I went to the Oslo Conservatory and then decided to go to New York because my father at the time was not well and the idea of going to California was just not great family-wise. So I got to New York and then just jumped in and did all kinds of work in theater, TV, film, documentary narration, audiobooks on tape. I ran a theater company in Greenwich Village for about 8 years. And I did some teaching and coaching there. And then when I worked in Philadelphia at the Walnut Street Theater, they asked me to teach some adult acting classes for non-actors. And a few of the students approached me to coach them on some speeches they had to give from their work. And out of that, I got kind of hooked into the non-acting world of helping people get their message out there. And I have since then worked with nonprofit organizations, proprietary business owners, entrepreneurs, job seekers. So it's kind of branched out into all areas of the market.
Well, it seems like a natural progression when you put it that way. So that's wonderful,
yeah.
Wendy. Now, let me ask you, in the internet age, content is clearly king. But if content is king, then communications is queen, and the queen rules the house. So why is it an effective communicator more important today, now more than it ever has been in the past?
Well, the first thing I would say is, hey, we all know it's tough out there. It's a competitive climate combined with a struggling economy, and the necessity for any executive or leader or representative of a business, a sole proprietor, an entrepreneur, you have to be able to articulate the value and the message of what you do to your client, to an audience, in order to grow your business. It's just common sense. And if you can't relay that effectively, then you can't expect the world to embrace what you do. You can't just wing it, you know. You just set yourself up, I think, to fall.
Yeah, it's too hard. Exactly.
Yeah.
The world's gotten too hard to wing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, most people are not professionals like you. Most people have not spent time on the stage. In fact, you know, there's that old bone that everybody says that if you're at a funeral And most people look at the guy giving the eulogy and the guy in the coffin, and they would rather be the guy in the coffin than the guy giving the eulogy, because that scares them more. But the reality is, you know, most people don't effectively communicate. Most people are afraid to do it. So give us, you know, the secret sauce. Give us two or three quick and easy things that anybody can do to become a better communicator.
Well, the first thing I would say, and this maybe is tooting my own horn a little, but it's what I do because I think it's important, is to really get someone to work with. And I think having an outside person there who can see what you do with your body and hear what you do with your voice and also help you pare what you have to say down to its essential elements, because oftentimes I think we tend to ramble on too much and it really takes away from the power of what you can say. So I really would suggest, even if it's just someone at work that you work with, to just get some help on any kind of speech that you have to give. And then practice, practice, practice. It really is, you know, in front of your mirror in the bathroom after you brush your teeth, while you're walking around your house. Have your children listen to you. Sometimes they're the toughest audience, you know, practice. And also, I think having a little humor in there somewhere, and I'm not talking about jokes because you always run the risk of offending someone, but just that universal way that we all laugh at life. Do you remember Victor Borge? He was.
I do. Yes.
Yeah, he used to say laughter is the shortest distance between two people, and I love that. I think that's true. You know, you want to really get people on your side, and you do that by making them laugh and saying, "Wow, you know, she's great. She's fun to listen to, and I like what she has to say."
And that's what you've been doing with your life as an actress, and now as a consultant, is helping people to really build rapport quickly. We're talking to Wendy Sharfman, everybody. Now, I want to take a little bit of objection to what you were saying there. You said practice, practice, practice. But if you practice so much, then it doesn't become natural. It doesn't become authentic, does it?
I think what I usually tell my clients is to put your answers or your speeches in bullet point form or in outline form, not so it's all written out. And that way you can still be extemporaneous and have a little creativity come in, because you're not scripting exactly what you say, but at least you have a sense of where you're going and where you need to end up by the end of the question.
All right, I like that. Working from an outline makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Now, Wendy, the reason I brought you on the show is because you really focus on storytelling as a way to boost communications. And why are stories important when we're communicating with other people? And why do we retain more if we hear stories when people are communicating than if we don't hear stories?
That's such a great question. I think if you think about it, every great speaker is a great storyteller. And I think it's because stories can relay information in such a multitude of ways, and they're infinitely more interesting to listen to than dry data or just a chunk of information. So I think it gives you a better chance of being remembered, you know, because I think, you know, we may not often remember everything you say to us, but we'll remember how you make us feel. And I think stories really kind of tap into that emotional resource that we all have. And you can illustrate so many relevant facts with a story. I think it's just easier to visualize because we retain information in our mind's eye. So if we can see it, we can remember it. And I think it's certainly a more enjoyable way to get information if it's told well.
Very good answer. We're talking to Wendy Sharfman, everybody. The expression goes, everybody's got a story. And I believe that is true. However, not everybody can tell their story effectively. We're going to have to pause, Wendy, for some commercial breaks, but when we come back, I want to tackle that. If everybody has a story, how can people express their story more concisely, more effectively than they're currently doing? And then we're going to do something that I like to do. It's called the quick fire. We're going to give you some examples of different types of people and ask you to tell us how they could become more effective communicators, better communicators. We'll do all of that when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Or you can listen streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. Now, today's theme for the show is making every word count. And my second guest is Wendy Sharfman. She is the founder of Coaching for Effective Communications. She herself is an actress, voiceover talent. She's done a lot in the acting world, made the transition to being a consultant, helping people to understand how they can communicate more effectively. And before we went to break, Wendy, we were talking and said, said, every picture, every person has a story. And there's no doubt about that. The problem is, I don't necessarily want to hear every person tell their story. Some people tell their stories better than others. They're more concise. They're more effective. They have more impact. So knowing that everybody's got something interesting in their lives, what ideas can you give us to help people to be able to tell their stories in a better way?
Well, the first thing I would say, Bill, is make it short. Because if you just yammer on, then the power of your story is gone. So I think to really shape the story, have a really great beginning and a great ending, and then the middle, make it juicy and fill it with really wonderful descriptive elements, the elements of which I would say should be a character. Have a great character. Have a hero. And it doesn't have to be yourself. In fact, I always say, if it's not yourself and the character, then it's somebody we all can relate to. So somebody else outside of yourself. And then describe that character. So the description of the character, we really want to visualize, see that person. And something that they say, a piece of dialogue, so that we can hear what they sound like. And in essence, what the story does is it transports us to another time and place. So you can set that up in the story by how you tell it. So the opening and the closing is important. I like to start a story in a really unique way. Like sometimes you can start a story with a quotation. For example, be yourself because everyone else is taken. Oscar Wilde said mm-hmm. that. And then go into your story. Or a question. Have you ever walked into a room and noticed, and then start your story that way? And then the closing should really be tight. You know, wrap it up, have a surprise at the end, or make it abrupt, or suspend it somehow. But I think so that you really shape the story. And if the story is within a speech, I would say no more than six to eight sentences at the most.
All right, 6 to 8 sentences. Make it short. Now, here's where I want to get some more insight. I want the secret sauce from you on this, Wendy, because I used to have a professor who said, you know, any speech is like a woman's skirt. It has to be short enough to keep the attention, but long enough to cover the subject. So my question is, how do you balance those two things and know what is the right length for what your story that you're telling?
Well, I think you have to know the point of the story. You know, what is the story about and why are you telling that story? And that should be established pretty soon on. So if your story is 6 to 8 sentences, we're going to know by the middle of the story, maybe what the point of the story is. And, of course, there can be a surprise at the end, and then you're going to tell us how that story relates to the speech. But I think you really have to have a point. You know, you can't just tell a story for the sake of telling a story. It has to have a really important reason for being told.
All right, well, let's get specific, shall we? I want to ask you, this is the quickfire section where okay. I give you a couple of scenarios, and you can tell me how to make things more interesting. And my first scenario, I'm going to throw a tough one at you. Let's say you're a tire shop owner, and you want to tell a story to be more effective about how you're a good tire shop and you're different from all the other tire shops in the city.
Well, let me tell you about myself. I'm Sam Hornby. Now, I may be only 5'2" with my shoes on, and I weigh 265 pounds, and I rarely get up out of my wicker chair that leans always against the back wall. I smoke fat cigars, and I have a twinkle in my eye, and sometimes I may just play a joke on you. But I've got the best deal on tires, and I guarantee them for life.
All right. Now, I like that. Take me through the way that you set that up. So we had a character, and that was Sam Hornsby.
Right. And then we described him so you could really see him. You saw him physically, what he looked like. You know, and if I would ask, I always do this to my clients, like, what did he look like? You know, so he weighed 5'2", and he was 5'2", and he weighed 265, and he smoked fat cigars, and he had ice blue eyes, and he sat in his wicker chair, leaned against the wall. But he had a product, and he stood behind it, you know, so it's sort of like you let us into the point of the story, and then we can talk, you know, that doesn't have to be the end of the story, but it kind of... It took us to that time. We saw the shop. We saw the chair. We saw him sitting in the chair. And we heard him speak, you know. So there he was.
I like it. All right. It made him more realistic. All right. Let me give you another industrial example. Let's say you're the owner of a transmission shop.
Okay. Well, we have a shop way down at the end of Main Street. You got to go through town. And the sign on our shop says, no appointment necessary because you'll call us and we'll fix it. That's a fact.
All right.
That could be sort of a branding piece, you know, but I think it's a way to kind of bring people in. And I would, you know, that's just an example. I might talk about the person. And sometimes I could talk about the owner of the shop as being someone other than myself.
Mm-hmm.
which would be another way of doing it. You know, that you don't have to be the person that you're talking about.
All right, all right. I get it. Now, let me give you a little bit tougher, and this one's real close to home because Tom Spence helps me with working the board here for Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Let's say that I'm a morning talk show host in morning drive time, and I've been in the county for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. What story could you create around that scenario?
Okay, well, I don't know Tom, but I'm not going to be Tom. I'm going to talk about Tom. Let's try this, okay?
All right.
The first time you meet Tom Spence, you feel like you've known him all your life. He's got a heart as big as the moon, and you know he's got stories in there you're just dying to hear. And you know what? He's got a big love for radio, and an even bigger love for his community. Now there's a match made in heaven, and one you'll want to tune in for. It's one beautiful sunny morning. I was driving to work, and I flipped on the radio, and you know what? I almost missed the turn into my office, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, again, character development with the person, all right? Mm-hmm. And how did that describe him fully? What was it about that made that realistic and personable?
We may not have seen all of his physical characteristics, but this is a guy with a big heart. This is a guy who obviously has some warmth, who just draws you in, who you really want to talk to, and then you find out, perfect, because he does talk radio. You know, it's kind of like, how do you set this up to make this guy the person that you want to turn on the radio to listen to?
And I love the catch line. Go through the catch line again about missing the turn. I thought that was great.
Because one beautiful sunny morning, I was driving to work, and I flipped on the radio, and I almost missed the turn to my office, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, I love it. All right, so that's how you would do it. Now, Wendy Sharfman, tell me, if people wanted to learn more about you, where could they go to find more information about what you do and how you work with clients?
Well, I have a website. It's www.wendysharfman.com, and that's S-C-H-A-R-F, as in Frank, M-A-N. My blog posts are all on there. You can find them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter as well. And if you need to reach me, it's wendy@wendysharfman.com.
All right, great, Wendy. Now, we've been talking about storytelling with you, and I think that that's an integral part of being a better communicator. But let's really distill it down, because your whole thing is make it short. So I'm going to give you some parameters here that are really short. Everybody's heard about the 30-second elevator speech, okay? How does storytelling factor into giving a good elevator speech?
That's a great question. I think that you have to know the story of your business, and that's not your bio, you know, because everybody has really what a million-dollar story of how you got to the point you're at, and that's a great story. And once you have that story, then I think you have to ask yourself, what would your ideal clients really be saying about your business that shows how they need you? And then the third step of that is, how do you speak to that need? In other words, what are the two best benefits to your clients that you can muster? And then you got to put that in a soundbite. You know, it's not easy, but that's kind of a formula that I used.
Okay, I get that. Now, tell me, why would somebody come to you to become a better communicator? What are some of the reasons that your clients come to you?
I have clients come to me because they have to deliver a keynote speech at a big conference in Washington, and they may be an effective leader of their organization, but they're scared to death. So fear certainly is a factor. Some of it is just they have all kinds of ideas and thoughts and huge amount of important content, but they can't organize it into a really great speech. Another reason is that they have a job interview coming up, and they have to work on both their cover letter and their interview questions, not only the questions that are going to be asked of them, but the questions they need to ask the interview, because I think that's just important.
Well, expand on that, Wendy, because I would agree with you. The questions that you ask in an interview are almost more important than the questions that you answer in an interview. Why is that so?
Well, because they want to see, a prospective employer wants to see that you've done your due diligence. Do you know not only what that organization or business does, but do you know what that job is about? Do you know who you'll be working with and what that person does? And if you take an interest in the person interviewing with you, it establishes a relationship. It establishes a dialogue. Because if you're there to put on a monologue, you might as well be talking to yourself.
I like that. Well said, Wendy Sharfman. But here's my question for you then, and just we're in the mode of telling stories. So tell me some stories about success stories that you've had in your coaching career.
I have two. One is that it was early on. One of the first jobs I got was in a pretty big nonprofit organization, and I was asked to come into a leadership class within the organization made up of clinical psychologists, social workers, caseworkers, very competent people. But their assignment for their leadership class was to give a presentation to the board of directors of the organization about the organization, and they were scared to death.
Mm.
And when I walked in that room on day one, they had an 83-page PowerPoint that they were going to read to the board of directors. And my job was to say to them, rule number one, you may not read the PowerPoint. And we spent about 3 weeks working on that presentation, and I said, you're going to find 100,000 different ways of telling them this information in really interesting, unique, exciting ways. And they did. And it was amazing. And the coup de grace was that at the very end of the presentation, which went beautifully and wonderfully, they told the story of a woman that had come to this organization for help because she'd had all kinds of trouble with her family. And she is now head of the parent part of the organization. And at the last moment, she walked in the room and told her story, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place. So there's an example of storytelling. You know, it was a really wonderful thing. So that was one story. The second one is I worked with a young woman who was 27 years old who had graduated from college and was an unusual kid, you know, in high school, never went to the mall and hung out with boys. I mean, she went to India and taught in a small village in a school, and then her junior year abroad went to Africa and put in a water system in the village that she was teaching in.
Wow.
She was a very unique kid, and she thought on, and she wanted to go to the Peace Corps or AmeriCorps and said, I'll never get in because I'm not an Ivy League graduate and Obama's president and all Ivy League students are, and I said, you absolutely will get in. And we worked for about a month and a half on her interview questions and her essays, and she's going to AmeriCorps in the fall. So it was a real success. And she was a wonderful kid, and she so deserved it. So that was a very nice story.
Oh, that is a nice story. We're talking to Wendy Sharfman, everybody, who is a communications consultant. All right, I'm believing you now. I'm bought into this, Wendy. So coach me up here a little bit, if you would, please. All right, suppose that I am here, and I'm getting on an elevator. And I'm going to ride up to the top of the Topa Tower here in Oxnard, California. Okay, so it's a fairly long ride. And on the elevator with me is Sumner Redstone. Okay, he's the head of Viacom. And I've just got a couple of seconds to give him my elevator speech about my talk show, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. What could I say to him on the ride up to the top of the Topa Tower?
Okay. If I were to ask you, what do you love most about what you do? What gets you fired up about what you do? What would you say?
Well, clearly, it's talking with the great guests that we get on the show. I mean, we talk to some very interesting people from all parts of the world.
Okay. So just one question on that. And why do you love doing that?
Why do I love doing that? For a couple of reasons. Number one, we get to share the information with the residents of Ventura County. Number two, it just stimulates my thinking, gets me going, and I enjoy talking with other smart people.
Great. I think that's good. So hold on to that piece. So then the second piece of it was, what do folks most get out of it?
That's a little bit harder to answer because my listening public doesn't just write in droves. But I think they like the educated, informed way that we discuss issues of the day, just like we were doing before you came on, talking about Ventura City politics here. You know, it's an informed debate and may not have a right or a wrong answer, but at least we get all sides of the information out.
Okay. So then if you were in the elevator with Sumner Redstone, then I would put those two pieces together. Say what you do is you get the greatest guests around to talk about the most interesting subjects so that everybody in your community where you live gets all the best information from all sides.
All right. Gets all the best information from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Wendy Sharfman, we've only got about a minute left, and I just can't believe how quickly the time goes.
Really?
But, yeah, it's just amazing. But top tips. If you are talking to a client and you know that client is going to make a presentation, maybe to a group or even better still, they're going to be on television, what are some of your top tips for creating a more impactful presence, a more powerful presence when they're communicating to that group or on TV?
Well, funnily enough, one of the things I would say, maybe in different words, but make each word count. I think that's so important. And then after that, really try, and this can be with a coach or trainer again, but to really explore the dynamic in your voice, because you don't want a monotone. You want to play with all the wonderful sounds that your voice has and all the ways that those theatrical techniques can add to your ability to tell information. And then your body language, you know, being relaxed, having a smile, being a good listener, being prepared, although, as you said, not verbatim, but just be knowing where you want to go and knowing how you're going to end up. And having a little warmth, a little charm, a little humor, and all those things can be explored and can be played with. But I think they're all important elements.
Oh, that's good. Wendy Sharfman, that is great. Our time is up. Tell us how people can get a hold of you if they want to learn more.
Well, my website is www.wendysharfman.com. That's S-C-H-A-R-F-M-A-N. My email, wendy@wendysharfman.com. And a phone number, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
917-406-9773.
Wendy, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming today. It's a pleasure. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much, Bill. It was my pleasure, and have a great one.
And you too. That brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day here on KKZZ AM 1400, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock for Brainstorming. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Go out and make it a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.